welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast. I'm so glad you joined me today, that you found the time, and we're just going to continue looking at Psalm 77. I've so enjoyed sharing this with you, and I hope I haven't ruffled too many feathers, but this was, you know, just an honest personal evaluation. As I read the Word of God, I found in Psalm 77 not only a remedy for those who are so troubled they cannot speak, as the psalmist identifies himself, but also the beauty and integrity of the Authorized King James Version, because I've been sharing other translations that don't convey a true picture of the Lord that we serve. For example, we've been looking at what is the remedy for someone that whose soul refuses to be comforted. He said in verse 3, "My spirit was overwhelmed. I complained. I remembered God. I was troubled." He was so troubled he could not speak. And then he just said, "Is the Lord never going to be merciful? Is he just forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies?" And after he asks all these questions, he comes to a place after prayer, knowing that God has heard him, after searching his soul, he comes to a place of submission. And beloved, I'm telling you, we just got it. We closed to the end of the broadcast yesterday. It is one of the most important things we can learn as Christians. You know, a child does not like to be chastened, doesn't like to be corrected. They throw temper tantrums. And beloved, we might be 40, 50 years old, and spiritually we can do the very same thing unless we learn this important lesson about submitting to God. Now, am I saying God brings heartache, distress, grief? No. But I'm saying if he, as in the case of Job, there was none like him in all the earth. He was a perfect man. In fact, God was so proud of him, he brought him up to Satan to test. But Satan was allowed free rein except to take his life. And Job did learn some lessons. He said he knew about God, but now I have seen him. It's a magnificent book of a man robbed of everything, including self-respect and dignity. Maybe not self-respect, but the self-respect of others. He lost esteem, certainly in their eyes, yet he was convinced of his own integrity, and yet his, you know, as we read toward the end of the book, we see and understand the lessons that Job learned, and we're going to be looking at that just a little bit. But the importance of submission, as I said, only I found of the translations I'm familiar with, only the King James gives that correct response of submission. Others, as I shared on yesterday's broadcast, if you've missed that, please go to www.unveilchrist.org and listen to the podcast. Other translations say that the psalmist is grieved because the right hand, which is that hand of blessing and favor, the right hand of the Most High changes. The blessings of God have changed to hate. That's the Living Bible. NAS says, "This is my grief, that the right hand of the Most High changes." But the scriptures say, Malachi 3:6, "I am the Lord, I change not." Now you might say, well, that was just the psalmist's perception. But I don't believe that's accurate. You see, there's nothing positive out of that. It's just they're grousing around that, oh, well, you know, God's just forgotten me, has changed. But King James says, "This is my infirmity. This is where I'm at right now. However, what I choose to do right now, I'm accepting. This is where I'm at." It's an act of submission to the dealings of God. And then we're going to see what positive thing he does. But we want to take a moment to look at the chastening of the Lord. we understand that afflictions under certain conditions are, if you will, appointed or allowed by God. Let me give you some scriptural references. Psalm 66 and 11 says, "Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins." Psalm 90 and 7 says, "For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled." So, also though, we do know from Lamentations 3:33, "He does not willingly afflict nor grieve the sons of man." Beloved, when we look at our beloved United States, at America, look at all the tragedies that have hit, all the natural disasters, floods, earthquakes, hurricanes, typhoons, tornadoes, all the things, not to mention the economy, not to mention the insecurity and the unemployment rate and the serious issues, economic issues, and I should say even greater spiritual issues we have facing this nation. Is that because God has stopped loving America? Of course not. But I tell you, because we've shaken our fist in the hand of Almighty God, said, "We don't need God. We want him. We want him off of our money. We don't want him in our schools. We don't want prayer." We've made those choices that he's just lifted his hand of blessing and protection. And beloved, we're beginning to reap the whirlwind. And we haven't seen anything yet, I believe, unless there's wholesale return to God in this nation. Beloved, we need to pray. Thank God for those who are standing faithful to the Lord. So, anyway, again, going back to now this psalm and to so we can relate in our personal lives, what is our response? This is our infirmity. Beloved, you might be in a place right now, you're so troubled you can't speak, but what are you going to do about it? This is where you're at. First of all, we must not despise it. Job 5 and 17 says, "Behold, happy is the man whom thou correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." And then a New Testament reference found in Hebrews 12 and 5 says, "We must not faint." There the word says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." So, beloved, we should be resigned. Now, you might react, and even the sound of that word, some of you don't like, resignation, resign, that sounds very negative, doesn't it? It sounds like someone that just sort of sat down, given up, folded their hands, and just sitting there like a lump of clay. But it means to resign, means to be resigned, means to give oneself over without resistance. Now, hear me now. This specifically relates to the dealings of the Lord. We should be resigned to the dealings of the Lord, not to the work of the enemy. For example, if we're suffering physical or spiritual battles, what do? Do we rage against God? Do we say, "Your word isn't true, you're not answering prayer, you know, I'm this Christian life, there's nothing to it, I'm just throwing the towel in"? Do we do that? No, but we stay resigned that this is where we're at the moment. We're not resigned to stay there, because the word says, "Blessed is the man who goeth through the valley," doesn't pitch his tent there, but goes through the valley. If we'll do that and we'll say, "Lord, this is where I'm at, this is my infirmity, but..." And we're going to look at the positive things that that this psalmist does, but I want to stay on this submission subject for just a moment longer, that we need to accept this is where we're at, but that God is going to move. He's not going to keep us there. Galatians 6 and 5 says, "For every man shall bear his own burden." And yet in verse 2, it says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So, we are going to go through battles. Jesus told us that in this world you'll have tribulation. What are some scriptural examples of resignation? And again, that means to give oneself over without resistance. Well, again, this is all in reference to being resigned to the dealings of God. In 2 Kings 20 and 10, the word of the Lord through Isaiah to Hezekiah, that word that came, he said, everything he possessed, Everything of Judah's would be carried off to Babylon. And he responded, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? And another example, in Job 1 and 21, this was after he heard the terrible news. His children were wiped out in a day. Everything he had lost so much in just one day. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, he wasn't railing, shaking his fist in the face of God. What was Job's spiritual stance? Well, if we look at that book briefly, we see in chapters 32 to 37, the young man Elihu enters the discussion because Job's friends have failed him. They were just criticizing him. It had to be some sin on his part. And so he denounces Job's reaction to his plight. Job, you see, had made various charges against God. He charged God with capriciousness and hostility. In other words, he was just being, capricious. That just means, no purpose, just on a whim he was doing it. And hostility, he charged him with that. And because Job said, I'm clean without transgression. I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, if he findeth occasion against me, he counteth me for his enemy. In other words, how can we say it in modern English? God, you're being mean to me. If you love me, why am I going through this? He charged God with injustice. For Job has said, I am righteous, and God hath taken away my judgment. Should I lie against my right? My wound is incurable and without transgression. Well, it's hard for me to stop right now. There's a little more to share before we get on to some positive aspects of what to do, because I know many of you need to hear the rest of the story, but we'll have to wait till tomorrow. This time goes so quickly. Thank you so much for joining me. Now, if you've got prayer needs, even if you don't have to write a long letter, send me that email. Write me that brief note. I learned to read between the lines. God loves you, and so do I. And I love responding personally to the letters that come in. It really is one of my chief joys. So I invite you to the right. The announcer will give you our contact information. Again, thank you, dear partners, for your prayers and financial support. God bless you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.